Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. Muslims are growing rapidly in Europe, Australia, Canada, and America. In fact, in Southern California alone, there are 1.5 million Muslims. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back again to our unique program, Understanding Muslims and Sharing Jesus Effectively with Them. I hope you remember, last program we talked about Acts 17, the Apostle Paul approached the Athenians. Let me remind you, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." So, we talked about two important lessons that I learned. Paul sought a point of contact through which he could communicate his message and found it in the inscription to the unknown God. And we talked that Paul quoted their poets to validate his message. Paul found something true the Athenians believe in. He agreed with them about this little truth that they have. Then he guided them to a higher truth which they did not know, the God who raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 31. How can Paul use the little truth that they have? Because truth to be taught can be learned easier through truth already known. Remember this. Truth to be taught can be learned easier through truth already known. And of course, God wants us to use our mind and logic and reason and common sense. Does not mean that we depend on God, that we cancel our mind. Actually, the opposite. We need to love God with all our mind. This is the greatest commandment. Okay, so when you examine what the Apostle Paul said, you will know that he did not compromise at all. Remember, in verse 24, he told the Athenians, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." Verse 29, Apostle Paul reaches a climax in his argument and openly challenges idolatry as something inconsistent with the idea of God as your creator. Therefore, verse 29, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. So Paul did not compromise. However, don't forget, we discussed that last program, Paul sought a point of contact through which he could communicate his message, and he found it in the inscription to the unknown God, and he related his message directly to this inscription. He told them, "What you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you." Now, by doing that, Apostle Paul set the gospel again as the background of their beliefs. Okay? And he quoted their poets, which were said to Zeus, the supreme god of the pagan Greek, to validate his message. So he established a common ground with them, and he used it as a stepping stone to the gospel. He did all that without compromise. God told us in verse 34, and I want to mention that verse to you, because some Christian pastors or leaders make a huge mistake by assuming that Paul was serving God in the flesh. Some pastors dared to judge the Apostle Paul. because he established common ground with the Athenians and because he used Greek poets to support the message, and they say he was in the flesh. Well, first of all, God did not told us that he was in the flesh. Then we cannot make this conclusion. Second, God did tell us in verse 34 that some men joined him and believed. Wow. That means that God blessed his approach, and there were celebrations in heaven because of his approach. Well, Paul was determined to accommodate the Athenians as far as possible without compromising his own beliefs. Paul could have approached them differently. He could have told them aggressively, "Men of Athens, in everything I perceive, you are grossly idolatrous. Because as I passed by, I observed your detestable idols. You use wood to make a god to bow down to, and the rest of the wood you use to barbecue your meat, you are foolish." If he said that, he would be right. But most likely, he would have lost all his audience. And that's what some Christians do with Muslims, by attacking them and attacking their faith and attacking Muhammad and attacking the Quran viciously and assuming the worst about their beliefs. Even though Colossians 4:6 advised us, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." Colossians 4:5, "Be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers," of course, including Muslims, "making the most of every opportunity." As a result of Apostle Paul's approach, some of his audience mocked, while others expressed their desire to hear more, and that's very good. When we talk to Muslims, we want to leave them thirsty, wants to hear more. And as I mentioned, verse 34, some men joined him and believed. We have another reference in the Bible that shows Apostle Paul and the early Christian evangelist not reviling the beliefs of others. I found that in Acts 19:37. The city clerk had calmed the crowd. He said, "You have brought these men here who are not blasphemers to our goddess." When Paul was witnessing to the Jews at Corinth, we read in Acts 18:5, he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Again, Apostle Paul found common ground in the hope of the Israelites in the coming Messiah. And we will complete next program. Before we end this program, I was blessed to receive an email from Melinda a few days ago, and told me, she encouraged me that she joined me in the prayers that we pray, and she said, "I like to pray." And I am so glad when I receive a positive comment from one of our audience. So I want to encourage you to communicate with me. Let me know how can I help you share Jesus with your Muslim friends or acquaintances, and how can I join you in praying for your Muslim friends and acquaintances. But right now, please join me in doing the most important thing. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you, God, that you built a common ground with us, and you built a bridge with us, and you came to us as a human in the person of Jesus Christ to tell us, "I love you," and Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. God, we celebrate the fact that we are your children. And God, we ask you today that you will teach us how to build a common ground with people and with Muslims. How can we use, God, the little truth that they have to help them enjoy your love and salvation and know more about Jesus? And I personally, God, I thank you for people like Melinda that join me in prayer. Have a sincere heart and sincere spirit in praying that you will use us for the salvation of Muslims. We surrender our lives to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a coworker who's Muslim. We talk here and there, but it's hard to answer some of his questions.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend this book by Sami Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And the gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with Him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. God's grace with you. Thank you for listening. And I am available to offer you encouragement to share Jesus with your Muslim friends and family. That number once again, 714-514-2558. If God puts it on your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sami Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sammy, S-A-M-Y, at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.